America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to yet another amazing episode of Let's Weekend. I, of course, am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi. Acknowledge your existence to the universe.
Good evening, hey. Everybody.
Hello.
And it's not even so much blatant lies anymore. We've been pretty consistent.
Yeah. So, as some of you will probably already know, this is going to be our last show before E3.
Yep.
And yes. We're just going to go ahead and warn you guys, there's a good 50-50 chance that there won't be a show next week.
Yeah.
Because we're just going to be honest with you, by the time it's over, we're probably all going to be just sick of everything.
Spent.
That or we might need to blow off some steam.
Yeah.
Just saying. So.
Yeah.
We'll play it by ear.
Yeah. Obviously, there will definitely be a Day Zero update on Sunday. Because
yep. Two of them.
Yeah. And I'll more than likely will be on one of them. Mm. It just depends. But anyway, so yeah, E3 is basically the big thing that's going to be happening next week. And we've all got, you know, our things that we're anticipating. You know, I'm anticipating seeing Xenoblade Chronicles 2 and whether or not it actually comes out this year. Here's a hint, probably not. even though Nintendo swears up and down that that's exactly what's going to happen. But,
and
anyway,
if it does, mad props.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Better take your hat off to that.
Yeah, and of course, we're also going to be seeing some, you know, 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim from Vanillaware and Atlas.
Yep.
We'll probably be seeing the new IP from BioWare.
In
some form. It'll probably be just a teaser, but, you know, it'll be something.
Yep.
And they kind of need a win right now. I'm not going to lie. You know, of course, for the record, we do already know Death Stranding is not going to be showing up this year.
Right.
And of course,
with Kojima, you have to give him time.
Yeah. He needs time to create.
Yep. He doesn't have Konami breathing down his neck anymore, so.
Yeah, so he can actually take his time now. Right. So other than E3 happening next week, we did have some other major stuff happen this week, including a very particular major news story that about 18 million people ended up watching live as it was happening.
Yep.
We also have some science news, some tech news, and then towards the end of the show, I'm going to explain to you, as being a former 4chan enthusiast, how 4chan turned into a hive of scum and villainy.
So you might have been there for that process.
Oh, yeah, I was. And I can basically tell you how it started.
Yeah.
And why it started. And basically why it turned into the just absolute sludge pit it is now. But before we do all that, start us off, Phil. What have you been up to this week?
So I've still been working on the site. I'm having some problems with that review plugin, getting the layout to work properly, but I have a feeling I'm nailing that down. I'll hopefully get that done soon. Other than that, getting ready for E3, just like everybody. Tomorrow I'll be going out picking up snacks, and a whole lot of them, as well as some beer. So, yeah.
Oh, you're thinking it might be one of those E3s.
Well, it never hurts to have some beer on hand.
True. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So pick some of those up. It's going to be a good time, I think. Got the number for the Chinese place on speed dial, so hey.
Mm-hmm.
Get myself some of that.
Yes.
So I'm expecting good times. Given that the Bethesda conference is at midnight my time, I'm probably going to need to pick me up by then. So... Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Perfect time for Chinese.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Only problem is it closed before that, so I have to order earlier. So,
yeah.
So there's that. Other than that, I've been doing some random gaming here and there. I'm still plugging away at Adventure Capitalist, which gets progressively more and more irritating the further you get. It's like they just keep throwing shit at you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, yeah, some of it is just like really buggy and doesn't quite work the way you think it would. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And I've been playing a lot of Tekken 7, which is amazing.
We're going to be playing that a lot.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they
for
just
a long time.
They just dropped a 1.02 patch for PS4 came out.
That's the matchmaking fix.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried it out, and yes, it does work better. It's no, it's not perfect, but it works a hell of a lot better than it did before. So
yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll probably, you know, if I'm not like completely dead after the show, maybe you and me can get on play some. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been me. How about you, Pat?
I've been working on site stuff of a different nature, namely the Tekken 7 and Wipeout Omega Collection reviews. Ugh, life is good. Just, well, looking at it, we got Tekken and Wipeout in the past week. Crash is making a comeback pretty soon.
Yeah.
There might be a new Ridge Racer announced over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The brands that really made the PlayStation what it is are, like, coming back full strength. And it's just it's a really good feeling having those on PlayStation, having grown up with those, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been streaming stuff. My Twitch channel is coming along really well.
Yeah.
I'm ramping up my streaming supplies, and last night I had a pretty good Wipeout Omega Collection stream that went well and got me some record viewership, so that's all the plus. And I got to look really good flying a Kyrex. So
yeah, I think probably by the end of this show I will own a copy of Omega Collection. So yeah, that's probably going to happen.
Yeah, I was worried that you ordering the wrong version of Tekken might have used up your Wipeout money, but not the case, huh?
No, I'm good for now. So I got that.
Oh, yeah.
I have that, and I can probably swing Pyre as well. So probably nice. Picking that up as well.
It's a good
that
time to normal. Get it.
Yep.
Because I got a promotion for spend $100, you get 15 back.
Oh.
Up till the 20th, I think. It starts today.
Hmm.
40 for Wipeout.
50 here. Pyre.
Find probably one more game, and you're good.
Yeah. Well, Next Machina is also coming out this month.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, oh man,
those three and I'm good to go.
Awesome.
This time of year is just great.
Yep.
But yeah, I'll probably be streaming some more stuff later on, and then of course I've got the Ridge Racer stream tomorrow night, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm hoping there's some rumblings of a new game getting announced at Ridge Racer Fest before or during the stream. And that would just make it all the more hype, but
yeah,
we'll see what happens. I plan on playing a good deal of Ridge Racers 2, a little bit of Ridge Racer 7, maybe some R4, especially in light of a certain comment that came up out of Sony this week, but I'll be bringing that up on the Day Zero update because it will be pertinent to Sony's conference, and I believe if Phil Spencer is smart, Microsoft's.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the kind of talking point that he can take that and just run it straight to the house.
Yeah, well, you saw his the response that Microsoft made to that Ars Technica article, right?
I did not.
Basically said, it's not like 2%, it's more like 15%. Of BC users, and then he ended that with the hashtag past, present, future.
Yes! That would be... Oh. That needs to be the new Xbox slogan.
Yeah.
That would be a really good direction for them to go.
Yeah, it would.
And then, of course, also E3 stuff. planning stuff for YouTube, planning stuff for Twitch. Obviously, we've got our usual array of podcasts that we'll be doing. Just all things E3, immersing ourselves in it completely. It'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. And a road fraught with Red Bull and Chinese food.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not going to be adhering to your diet this week,
no.
I don't think.
No. I did a full month on it. It was a really good success. I lost a total of 44 pounds throughout May.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So between my roommates having their engagement party and E3 being right around the corner, I'm just taking a little bit of a break from it, and probably the Thursday or Friday, after the E3 festivities are over, I'll be going back on the diet. But for right now, I'm just enjoying all manner of things that I can't have under normal circumstances. Pocky, cinnamon, Pepsi, all manner of baked goods, chips, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I obviously we'll also be consuming vast quantities of Chinese food, like you said.
Yeah.
But that's just a long-running E3 tradition that I'm not about to let go of now.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's my week.
All right, what about you, Chris?
Well, the big thing for me this week is I officially have a new job, which is nice. Nice. I left my last one a little while ago, just got tired of the drama at that place. And also the pay. I was not getting much, despite being there for a while, not getting much in raises.
Yeah.
And so instantly, at like entry level at this new place, getting paid quite a bit more, which is nice. And luckily, getting hired right at this moment means I'm kind of free for all of E3.
Nice.
I kind of have to do something Monday morning, but I'll be out before the PC gaming show, so things are looking free and clear for the most part.
All right. Well, you can always join us.
Yeah. It'll just be, I think Bethesda's the only terrible part, having to be up that late on Sunday night.
Yeah.
The fuck were they thinking?
I don't know.
What was Devolver?
They weren't thinking, were they?
Devolver's yeah. like, hey, we'll get on after this. They're at 1 a.m.
What the hell?
I think they're mostly just expecting streamers for the Devolver thing. Probably. I'd imagine. But yeah, we're all obviously getting E3 prep going. Got my two E3 preview pieces. At least one or two things are already wrong on there, so that's a good start.
Yeah, that's the nature of the beast, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, us being convinced that Microsoft was going to get their VR stuff going, and they're like, no, we're not going to do that this year. It's like, I've specifically rewatched the last few years' worth of E3 press conferences, and they talk about during the entire Scorpio segment about high-fidelity VR constantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now it doesn't exist. It's like, well, what the fuck?
They're not doing it this year, but...
Yeah. But they're just letting...
Or it's a bait and switch.
Mm-hmm.
They're letting the other three competitors get more and more market share and mind share out there, so they're just letting them take it. So they're going to have, obviously, a lot of work to go when they do finally get around to it. Looking forward to that. And I also watched Logan finally. I got a nice 99-cent rental deal.
Oh, nice.
Off of Google, so I watched that today. And that's some fucked up shit that goes on in there.
Yeah. Good movie, though.
Yeah. It's a nice fitting end, even though it's kind of not canonical in a sense. Because it's set in 2029.
Yeah. It would have almost been better if they hadn't gone the alternate future route with it and just used it to set up a possible Wolverine's movie.
Yeah. Yeah, because it kind of set
up. I hope that gets the movie treatment sooner than later.
Yeah, it was nice to see the sort of CG actor thing, face stuff, actually looking really good.
Yeah.
But still very jarring, because you see the actual actor and mostly looking like his age. Oh. But they have another version of him that is like 20 years younger.
Hmm.
And it's like, fucking Christ. That thing scares the shit out of me. Yeah, I could see an interesting sequel to that. Oh. Sort of featuring all the kids that are in it.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's like a...
That could be the premise of the New Mutants.
Yeah.
Which I know they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was pretty good. The only bad part of it is making me see how old Xavier is, Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Knowing that he's maybe not too long for the world. Even though that one, they're particularly playing up his age. He says he's in the is it in his 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not quite that old.
No.
No, but they probably didn't have to do too much work to make him look old.
They had to have so much fun with that banter.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, being able to curse, have Professor X essentially be able to start just cursing, which was great. Yeah, continuing along with my YouTube stuff, let's see, this week I did a video on Gems of War, which is really hard to go over all of the new stuff that's in there. I think it's like a 40-minute video, and I still didn't get to everything.
Jeez.
Because there's just so much shit in there. But yeah, that was fun to do, and still playing that. The other videos I did, I pulled out Styx, Master Shadows, out of my backlog.
Okay.
And that doesn't compare at all to Metal Gear Solid or Hitman, so...
Nope.
Nope.
You're setting the bar a little high there.
Yeah. I was hoping it would be at least have some like B tier game stuff going on to make it at least somewhat fun, but no. And the anniversary I celebrated this week was the 22nd anniversary of Earthbound.
Mm. Yep,
that was June 5th, I think it was, and played some of that, and that was fun to jump into, especially when I didn't remember where I was. So I was in the Blue Cult, their camp. I basically just... And I was grinding in the cave near there, since that's what you kind of have to do at times. So I basically just went out, went to the leader, and killed him in like 3 hits. So that was fun. Just remembering how much of a pain in the ass that stuff can be. I think
it was still a lot of fun when you could just murk a boss like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the only problem is when you get what's her name? The woman that you free from there. I forget what her name is. But when you get her, she starts at level 1. She's a liability for the most part. She died once her teddy bear was dead. She died pretty quickly. And so then that was actually kind of nice, because I could just run through everything. Not have to worry about somebody dying for the most part. But still, it's just a lot of annoying stuff in that game for what it is. Just the way enemies can gang up on you. You get weird illnesses that just stick for too long. Like when you get the mushroom on your head and your controls are reversed. It's like, I got to get to the hospital, but with the reverse controls. They just keep changing, don't they? Like every
they just keep changing.
30 seconds. Just keep changing. Okay, up is now left. Oh, crap. Actually, the Wii U is kind of nice, because you could kind of just flip the controller around. Though then it keeps changing and all that. But yeah, that's a fun game. Makes me want to go back to it on the 3DS where I'm in 3, where I'm lost at there. So I remember that part being kind of confusing, just trying to figure it out on my own. But they put a guide up on their own site. I think it's earthbound.nintendo.com. So they basically made it a lot easier for people to figure out what's going on without necessarily having to go through the YouTube route or GameFAQs or whatever. So yeah, I definitely want to go back to that. Probably not this weekend. It's going to be too busy. As for other game stuff, not really too much. Gems of War has been the big thing. But I also partake in some of the new sales on PSN since they got that promotion going. And instead of buying some of the good games that are on sale, like Horizon's $40, I forget what the other ones are, like Watch Dogs is $25.
It'll be the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Watch Dogs hit my point. I wanted 30 and it's 25. So I'll probably be grabbing that. But instead of buying any of the great games that have come out over the last like 6 to 10 months, I bought probably what I'm guessing are two of the shittiest ones. I forget what the title
is. What did you do?
I got to look real quick. Phil knows these games. Skylight Free Range.
No.
Skylight Free Range 2. Those are $5 each. I was like, oh, fuck, I got to buy those at those prices just to see for myself, and I'm hoping to do some videos of that because I have to see what they are. I have to see what it's like in Canada.
No, it's nothing like that in Canada.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Is the other one Life of Black Tiger that you ended up picking up?
No, I just bought pretty terrible. There's two of those games.
Yeah.
So I bought those two.
Okay. Yeah.
Not much you can say after that.
Nope.
Yeah. I have to see if they're better or worse than Dogchild.
Because
that game was bad.
Boy.
Yes, yes, it was.
We need some a new of the podcast worst called Don't Play This Game.
Yep.
Yeah, I think one of my
covering the cream of the crap every week.
I could see myself doing something like that.
Yeah.
The Steam is full of it because I have gotten some bundles and such. You know, games like Face Noir.
Jim Sterling that shit down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's stuff here I don't even know if it's any good or not.
Mm.
And I was like, Face Noir, weird racing games, I don't know, just weird shit in here. That, and I can just look it over I put together a list of all the codes I have from Humble Bundle. It's like 130 long. I know not all of those are very good.
Yeah.
That and I think it's Green Man Gaming or Bundle Stars, I forget. They were doing like a bundles like 49 cents for 4 free games or something like that.
Yeah.
You just buy a couple of those and it's like, oh, you keep giving me doubles. Because you're trying to get rid of these codes because you can't buy anybody that wants them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to give some of those to Dan Rib to give out. See if he can, do with some of that.
Worst giveaway ever.
I mean, people take free stuff, whatever you want. So, yeah, that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, my primary gaming for this week has still been Guilty Gear Rev 2.
Yeah.
Nothing much to add to that.
It's great.
It's a good game. It's still a lot of fun. You should go get it. The end.
Yep.
You see what the Axis is working on next? Arc 6? Is it?
Arc System Works.
Yeah.
They're working Dragon Ball Fighters.
Yeah.
Yep. They're doing
not
a Dragon
the first
Ball
Dragon
game.
Ball game, but they're first on a proper console.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Especially if they can do the use the awesome tech for Guilty Gear on that.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to have a Dragon Ball Z game with a new look.
Yeah.
Not the same one it's been for 10 years.
Yeah. That would be pretty awesome. Yeah, I'm already, because Arc System Works, they've done really awesome, like, tie-in fighters before. I mean, they've done Persona, they did that amazing Fist of the North Star arcade game years ago.
I have it. Amazing is a bit of a stretch, but it's fun until you know what you're doing.
Gotcha. So, yeah. That's been my primary gaming thing. As far as reading goes, just doing some reading. I finally finished Josh Malerman's Black Mad Wheel, and wow, that thing has just... It goes in some really odd directions towards the end. I talked about how, you know, last time I was talking about what the whole sort of idea behind the book is that it's basically about these dudes. It takes place in the, sometime in the late 50s, early 60s, you know, 60s pre-Beatles. It's these dudes who are in a rock and roll band from Detroit called the Danes, who are sort of working on another album. And as they are contacted by a representative of the United States government because, as it turns out, all four of the members of the band are all World War II veterans. They're all former soldiers. And they are basically telling them about they found this strange sound or pulse out in the middle of Nambia in Africa. They're trying to figure out what it is, because all they know is that they tried to, at one point they actually tried to try to shoot a nuke at it, and it actually neutralized it. So basically every piece of weaponry that goes near it basically is neutralized. So they send in an exploration crew, two of them actually, and neither one of them came back alive. So they decided it was time to bring in the music people because, you know, they know sound. And I'll just let everyone else figure it out from there. Suffice to say, at some point, at a good point, everything goes really, really weird. Mm-hmm. They start seeing, for lack of a better word, specters from a bunch of old wars throughout history. One of the first things they see is the apparently extremely flattened corpse of a Union Civil War veteran. That's just out in the middle of the African desert for some reason. Been reading that. Also started reading the 5-star stories again. Have I talked about this before? I don't think I have.
No.
All right, so do you guys know who Mamoru Nagano is? If you've ever seen, he used to be a member of Sunshine Productions, or is that what they're called? Something like that. The people behind the Gundam series. Sunrise Entertainment. He used to be a designer with them. He worked on Heavy Metal Elgheim. He worked on, Mobile Suit Z Gundam. He did a bunch of character design specifically and mecha design specifically. He's the guy who basically introduced the whole look of like having mecha look like, you know, like having like exoskeletons with armored plates all over them, so they look like actual knights in armor.
Yeah.
Instead of just sort of blocky. Yeah, he's the guy who basically came up with that. And then after he finished his work on Heavy Metal Elgheim, he decided he didn't really like the way the show went. So what he did is he came up with his own sort of quasi version of the story called the 5-star stories that's been serialized in New Type magazine since the late 80s. And it's basically, you know how I think a while back I said how, like, you know, Nazca the Valley of the Wind is like the Lord of the Rings of Japanese manga?
Right.
5-star stories is the Dune of Japanese manga. It's like that intricate and that epic. And it's amazing to look at. And it's just a lot of fun to read. But it's good stuff. And speaking of Gundam, I have been watching, thanks to Crunchyroll, how many of you guys have seen this Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans?
I have not.
Oh, this freaking anime is amazing. It's probably the most... Here's the thing. It's the most gritty and realistic sort of Gundam anime that's ever been made. But the weird thing, what that does is that it has this weird sort of off-putting because it's a very sort of straightforward, sort of hard sci-fi story about, you know, Mars colonization and the Martian, after the Martian people deciding they wanted to declare independence from Earth and that whole war. And it all of the tech and everything looks pretty realistic. And then the Gundam steps in. And it's just this weirdly, like, they just don't fit very well. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Yeah, I get you.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a great anime, and it's amazing to watch. But it's kind of weird to see that element show up in it after you've seen a pretty realistic sort of hard sci-fi story up to that point. And basically what it is it's basically about child soldiers. So ain't that just a nice, fun topic?
Yeah.
They're called Iron-Blooded Orphans for a reason. They're literally orphans who were basically forced into being child soldiers.
Hmm.
And I also kind of started watching Gundam The Origin. Those of you don't know, that's the adaptation of Yoshikazu Yasuhiko's Gundam manga. And it basically, a lot of it is basically starting out with Shar Osnabal's childhood, him and his sister.
Hmm.
And it literally begins the day that Zeon Zoom Daikun dies. You know, having a heart attack as he's getting ready to declare independence from the Earth Federation.
Hmm.
And sort of the whole, like, you know, it shows you a lot of things, like, why is Ron Baral so pissed off at the Zombies? You know, why does one of the Zombies have all those scars on his face? It's because he survived a car bombing. Hmm. Why is Garma's mother such a bitch? Well,
you find
well, out. Not Garma's mother. I think it's his aunt or whoever. Cassilia.
Hmm.
Trying to remember, was Garma Cassilia's son or whatever? Anyway, it's pretty awesome. It just basically shows you why Char Osnabal is so pissed off as an adult. But, yeah, so that's what I've been up to this week. What about anybody, any guys want to add anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, well then, it is time once again for everybody's favorite part of the show. Brandon's Random Factoid, and in this case, I'm going to do basically a sort of version of things you didn't know existed, but now that you do know they exist, you desperately want them. So, as everybody knows, we Americans are notorious, especially we Southerners, are notorious for deep-frying stuff. Yeah. You know, we deep-fry everything. We deep-fry chicken, we deep-fry pork, we deep-fry fat.
Butter.
You know? We deep fry fat inside fat and then serve it with fat.
Yep.
Just how we roll, right?
I've encountered it. Deep fried butter is a thing.
Yep, it is a thing. But here's the thing. You see, there are cultures all over the world who are just as adept to deep frying everything as we Americans are. Hmm. You go to Scotland, for example, where the deep fried Mars bar was invented. You know, you go to Egypt, where the very first recorded recipes for fried chicken are known to exist. You know, in fact, even today, Egypt is known for all of the fried stuff that they make. you know, you can go to, you know, places like, you know, Spain, where there's just a buttload of fried stuff that they make.
Yeah.
But probably the, but most particular are the Chinese. Specifically, the Republic of China, aka known as Taiwan. So, in Taiwan, they have these things called night markets. Usually around 6 p.m., usually all week, every day during the week, usually including the weekends. All of these vendors will suddenly show up out on the middle of the streets after the sun goes down, hawking their wares. And among these things, among these places that show up, is a thing called the Zanzuji, or as I like to call it, the calorie card. I'm just going to go ahead and show you. I got this little picture here.
Okay, let's have a pull this up.
Oh, my shat.
I can feel my arteries clogging already.
Yes,
yeah, so. I got to hit up my friend Lonnie about this. He's currently in Taiwan.
Yeah, so
oh my God.
Basically what these are, they're called Zanzuji, and they basically have one purpose. They serve deep-fried everything, and if they don't have it in stock, but you happen to have it on you for a nominal price, they will deep-fry it for you.
So it's like an American
That's a valuable West service.
Carnival?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, except you'll notice... Yeah, but except if you'll notice on that cart, there are some things in that particular that are on there that are distinctly Chinese or Asian in general. So let's take a look at what we've got here, shall we? We have got on here. Of course, you can see you got your French fries right up there. You've also got some fried fish, some fried chicken. We've also got some fried mushrooms, some fried sweets up there, way up in the in the top right corner. I'm pretty sure these down here between the next to the French fries are, I think those are oysters or clams. They look like them.
In the back on those skewers, is that chocolate?
No. Yeah, I actually no, I don't think that is. I think those are sausages.
Hmm. Okay.
Specifically, I think those are blood sausages. You know, black pudding.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, you noticed what that is over there on the far right? Mm. The stuff that kind of looks like brownies?
Dwight.
That's pork blood. Mm. That's coagulated pork blood.
Okay.
Right next to the tofu, which is what's right next to it. And, of course, you can also see the hot dogs.
Mm. Yeah.
And those that pink thing, those pink things right there, those are pork intestines. And like I
they
said, yeah.
They don't care what it was, they'll fucking fry it.
Oh, yeah, they will. Pretty much. And,
the idea
that's not...
of deep-fried tofu is just wrong in so many ways.
Well, they do it all the time over there.
Yeah.
And let's see. Here's the same cart from a different angle so we can get a better look at the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same, you can see. So we got some fried fish up there at the top.
It's definitely not chocolate.
No. Yeah, that is definitely, yeah, I think that's offal or some kind. Some of this you'll notice is not, like I said, all this stuff here, if it's not deep fried, they do deep fry it. They just only deep fry it upon order.
Yeah.
Also, you probably can't see it, but next to those skewers things up there next to it, I'm pretty sure those are Phoenix talons. Do you know what Phoenix talons are? Chicken feet.
Yeah.
And we got some. I think those are like some next to it. I think those are some gizzards, chicken gizzards.
Yeah.
Which, of course, those are a thing down here south. Down south. So.
No, some of this stuff I sold when I was a cashier at Walmart.
So basically what you can get at a Zanzuji that's fairly you can get things like bread, pork blood, chicken feet, corn dogs, and of course the usual stuff like chicken, hot dogs, green beans, all types of stuff like that. These are on the streets on Taiwan.
Is that cauliflower on the bottom left?
Probably. Or if not, it's some sort of rice concoction. I wouldn't be surprised. But God, can you look at that and think, damn, why is that not a thing here in America?
Yeah, I think that's kind of a thing of the night market, really, and we don't really have that kind of thing over here.
Yeah, which is kind of sad, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, Zansuji, the calorie cart. It's a thing that exists in Taiwan during the night at the night markets.
And well, I knew we didn't have a monopoly on deep frying things because cholesterol is a universal language.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, night food here is obviously Taco Bell.
Yeah.
They own the fourth meal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Everyone has the munchies.
Yep. Like I said, we Americans are not, like Patrick said, we Americans do not have the monopoly on deep frying everything. There are people who are much more adept at it than we are, yeah. Believe it or not. And considering the fact that this is Chinese, basically, you know that they will basically deep fry literally everything that is edible.
Yep.
You know,
that's how you find out what's good.
Yeah. You know, there's that old Cantonese saying, if it walks on legs and its back faces the sun, the Chinese will eat it. But anyway. Okay, now it's time for the fun part. Our asshole of the week. Now, again,
low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, we did have our choice. There was, of course, those assholes in London who ran over all those assholes on the London Bridge, but that was literally just like I think a day or so before the I Heart Manchester concert that Ariana Grande put on.
Yeah,
but no, this time our asshole of the week is none other than former MMA person War Machine. The man who is now going to jail for life for the absolutely horrid attack on his ex-girlfriend.
And her boyfriend at the time.
Yeah. And her boyfriend, too. He kidnapped her, beat her, and then he raped her. And then he attacked her male friend. And all this happened back in 2014.
Yeah. And then tried to kill her outright.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They managed to escape when he was going to go get a knife.
Yeah. Shot now, fortunately, they all survived.
Yeah.
But anyway, so...
Yeah, 29 felony and misdemeanor charges.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a lot.
Yes, it is. That is a grocery list of awful right there.
Yeah. And he says, called himself a very lost, very empty person... Hated his aggressive impulses and probably should have killed himself by now. Like, he attempted suicide in January.
Yeah.
But they stopped.
Not the first time.
Yeah, this dude seems like he's got, like, a serious mental disorder of some kind.
Yeah.
And now he says he's turned to religion, so he wants to become a role model in prison.
You know, okay. I... You know what? Just let it go.
Yeah.
Not even going to go there.
Yep. Good luck to him.
Yeah, because he's going to have a while to think about it.
Yep.
Yeah, if he gets parole, it's not until he's 71.
In his 70s, yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, the victims were Christy Mack and Corey Thomas. Christy Mack is an adult film actress. Corey Thomas, of course, was her boyfriend at the time. So...
I always love when... They describe women who are in the porn industry.
Oh,
they describe
her
as porn actress, ex-girlfriend, not ex-girlfriend, who also happens to be
a porn actress. No, that... Because in the Western mindset, if you're a porn actress, then you have a certain degree of something coming to you, basically.
Mm. That's all you can ever be.
Yeah. Let's see. So... He didn't testify at his 2-week trial. Jury in March failed to reach a verdict on 2 attempted murder charges. And they acquitted him of three lesser counts, which was battery with intent to commit sexual assault, burglary with a weapon, and sexually motivated coercion.
Well, he did those things, but...
Yeah, well, it's kind of like they had other charges that already go with that anyway, so that's kind of like, you know, just shavings off the edge, you know. Yeah. But
and some of that stuff is like technicalities. It's really hard to argue for it.
Mm. Yeah.
And they still came up with 29.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
I think it was 34 total.
Mm. Let's see. Lederman. Is that his defense attorney?
Yep. I don't know.
Lederman characterized Kopenhaver, that's War Machine, at trial as a quote-unquote raging bull with brain injuries from his fighting career and emotions inflamed by the use of steroids and non-prescription stimulant and antidepressant drugs that could have caused mood swings and violence. The defense attorney, termed, quote, roid rage.
Yeah, I think they tried to argue at one point that he essentially had roid rage and thus had no consciousness of what he was doing.
No.
Yeah, roid rage doesn't really work as an insanity defense.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, the things that...
I believe it could have played a role? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at what Chris Benoit did.
That's where I was going.
Hmm. Yeah.
And he also had CTE, just like a textbook case.
Hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't help
when your signature move is literally, you know, diving off the turnbuckle and falling into someone head first.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And look how Honma ended up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And definitely don't look up the pictures of her after the attack. It's real nasty.
Yeah, you really don't want to see it.
They describe it well here. She had a broken nose, missing teeth, fractured eye socket, leg injuries, and a lacerated liver. Took her a long time just to even get back to normal.
Mm-hmm. But, so War Machine's our asshole of the week, and he's going to have 36 years of the life to think about it.
Yeah.
But now, with that, now we've got our hero of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, the UK had their general election yesterday, and it ended in a hung parliament.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to have to kind of explain this because, of course, the UK system doesn't work like the US system does.
Nope.
It works closer to kind of how the Canadian system works.
Yep. Yeah. Would be more truer to say that our system works kind of like theirs.
Yeah.
That's what it's
okay, so basically what you need to know is, okay, so right now...
I wish we could have nice things.
Yeah, so up until recently, it was the Conservatives, you know, the Tories, who were in charge of government and had been for the last 3 years. And, of course, after David Cameron resigned after the Brexit vote, he was replaced by Theresa May, a shrieking harpy banshee from the pits of hell who somehow managed to crawl her way into governance. So, Theresa May, in her arrogance, thought that they could go ahead and have a snap election, and they could have another election and let voters come in and decide who they want to do, because she thought, well, we're so awesome, obviously they'll vote for us. Well, guess what happened? Although the Conservatives still ended up having more seats, they did not keep the majority.
Nope.
And instead, there is now a hung parliament. Neither party has the majority. And now they have a actual, genuine socialist alternative opposition with the Labour Party.
Yeah.
Which is being headed by none other than Jeremy Corbyn. And you need to understand why this is a big deal. Because if you've paid... You know how basically the media treated Bernie over here? Yeah, it pales in comparison to the way the media treated Jeremy Corbyn. Yeah. They called him, you know, a terrorist sympathizer. Because you got to remember, pretty much all of the private media in the UK is owned by like three or four families, specifically the Murdochs. And they just threw all they could at him. The Guardian, you know, the traditionally center-left English newspaper, they just drug him through the mud, raked him over the coals.
The fuck was their problem with him?
They were, I guess they're more New Labor, you know, Blairites, which up until fairly recently had been more or less in charge of the Labor Party. And then came Corbyn, who had his more left-wing insurgency within the party, and he, of course, was eventually elected as chairperson. Against all odds. Because, again, from every step, he has been hounded by people both within the Labour Party and people out of it. As, you know, too far left, too progressive, too utopian. And look what happened! With all of that, even with a good chunk of his party being against him, he still managed to get enough votes to have a hung parliament. Imagine what he could have gotten if the party actually supported him wholeheartedly. He would be the next prime minister. Without question.
Give it time.
But
I do think this deserves a heartfelt congratulations. You just played yourself to the Tories.
Oh, yeah. And the truth of the matter is, Theresa May is fucked now. She basically was doing this whole snap election betting on the idea that the Conservatives were so superior and mainstream compared to their insurgent Labour candidate that there was no way that they could lose. And they ended up tying, basically.
That went well for them.
And, you know, have you seen, like, all the photographs and the pictures of people voting Labour? There was, like, a school that was, like, in a Labour stronghold, like a public school, an elementary school, where that was set up as a polling place, and there was, like, kids made little signs and stuff with, like, you know, more reading, more funds for schools. Here's a funny thing. A lot of those kids also drew little sickles and hammers on those signs.
Ooh.
Ouch.
You think I'm joking? Hold on. I'm going to show you.
I
don't think you're joking.
But,
yeah.
Like I said, Labour stronghold. And, you know, that symbol doesn't necessarily have as negative a image over there as it necessarily does over here. But, anyway, so basically what's happened is that the conservative part of parliament has had to form a coalition. The only parties that have basically been willing to form a coalition are basically more reactionary conservative parties are basically the only ones willing to, you know,
basically the UK's version of the alt-right.
You know, Ulster Unionists and, you know, Scottish, you know, far-right Scottish Unionist, basically people that, you know, royalists, that type of group. And so, but again, the reason that, and now here's the other thing. This kind of throws the inevitability of Brexit into question. Because, remember, Theresa May kind of was a big sort of hard Brexit individual herself. And, you know, she sort of run her campaign pretty well on it. And now, you know, it might not happen. You know, they basically have to start the negotiations in the next couple of 2 years. And it's possible that they may just walk out of it and say, no, just, but, you know, this
they,
is...
They can't get anything through. They can't force anything through now.
They basically, you know, they have to negotiate with Labour now. And it's no longer the old Blairite wing of Labour either. It is the old school trade unionist fuck you part of Labour.
I like that.
It's almost like this is how government is supposed to go. You make deals and compromise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not, and we got the majority, so fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
So, yeah.
But yeah, so big congrats are in order for Jeremy Corbyn and the Labor Party, because honestly, the dude had everything going against him, and he still managed to come out, not necessarily on top, but just high enough that he can face that, just high enough that Theresa May can see him giving her the finger. Now,
the big news.
But out of the way, it's time for the other major news. The big event, political American event of the week, the one that was so big, it literally drew 18 million people watching it live.
In the middle of the day.
In the middle of the day.
Some of them on a work day, for some reason.
By the way.
People are filling bars up for Comey parties.
Yeah.
What?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And, I like that, though. People are tuned into politics now.
Yeah. I am glad that's happening. That is a good thing. It's just kind of weird. You have to get
it's
used to it.
It's weird when Twitch has it on their homepage.
Yeah. By the way, I found...
I love that, though.
I found the picture I was talking about.
Yeah, like there's people random WNBA games stream on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's weird. That's a good way to get it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But as you can see, I told you, it's an elementary school.
Oh, yeah. It's totally
with all those little sickles and hammers everywhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. Call me.
Yeah. All right. So, anyway. So, what happened? Well, James Comey, former head of the FBI, finally had his public hearing in front of Congress, in front of the Congressional Committee, where he basically confirmed and said in public basically everything he had already said beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing
and
really
enjoyed
new.
Every second of it.
Oh, yeah, he did. He just sort of is like, you know, he said, not only did, you know, the administration decided to not only defame me, they defamed the FBI.
God, he's remarkably comfortable at public speaking.
Oh, yeah. Well, at this point, I'm sure he's just run out of fucks to give. Mm-hmm. So... and the thing is, there's a lot of people saying that, you know, the FBI was in disarray. But the thing is, if you've paid any attention, Comey is actually very popular within the FBI.
Yep.
The people who worked with him really liked him. Yep. And so Comey
worked with presidents on both sides of the aisle.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He was considered a man of integrity. That one thing with Hillary notwithstanding, but.
Well, I almost wonder if that was bait for Trump.
Probably. It could be. But anyway, so he came forward. He basically said yes, that he related the whole story about, you know, he after the first meeting he had with Trump, he decided he needed to keep all of his conversations with Trump in writing. Because he basically said, I'm going to need to make sure, because this guy is kind of reminding me of a mafia boss, and I need to make sure I've got a record of this stuff.
Yeah.
And he had to be careful with what he told him, because he didn't want it to turn into like an Edgar J. Hoover situation.
Hmm. Yeah. And at the same time, he was also... Corbyn did not specify whether or not there are tapes. He said he hopes there are.
Well, there's Trump said there's tapes. He better hope there's no tapes.
Yeah. Whereas Comey's
here
like,
"Here you go, dude."
Yeah. And you know, the unfortunate truth is, this was the public hearing, but he basically made it clear there's a lot of stuff he can't reveal in public right now. That's what the closed hearing is going to be for.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't know when that one's going to be.
I think it was right after.
Yeah, it was right after. I don't know if we're going to know anything about that.
Hmm.
You know, probably not until whenever Mueller's investigation is done.
Yeah, that's the or Mueller. I think his name is Mueller. Robert Mueller. Yeah, his investigation is still ongoing. He's the guy who's going to, you know, when he's ready to reveal info. And let's be honest, there's probably definitely something there. He will reveal it in good time. So, but during this, basically, did I? Because I never noticed. Did anybody point this out? Did Trump stay good on his threat that he was going to live tweet through the whole thing.
He took about a 45-hour break from Twitter. Then basically said Comey committed perjury. He lied a lot.
Yeah. Thing is, he... So, here's the thing. After all this went down, of course, he had to get Trump's spokesperson to go out there and say he's totally not a lying liar from Liarton. Had to have Trump's defense attorney come out and say he is not a lying liar from Liarton.
Yeah, the Trump camp basically came out of it saying, well, Trump's vindicated now.
Yeah.
No, that's not what that means.
No, no. That's...
It means everybody around you is on smoke.
Yeah.
And there's got to be a fire somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And so right now that's all over.
Ask a question?
Yeah.
What planet was John McCain on at the time?
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. After seeing that, I think it's pretty obvious that John McCain is suffering from dementia, and that
something going on.
Did you see the official reasoning for that?
What was
his camp put out? Said he was up late watching the Diamondbacks game.
No, that was totally a senior moment right there. Because it was pretty obvious he was having trouble differentiating between the investigation and the Hillary investigation, calling people the wrong names.
Yeah, he's trying to suggest that because they came to a conclusion on the Hillary email stuff, that why couldn't they come to a conclusion on the Trump stuff?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. They're two completely different things.
Mm-hmm. They're not.
One has connected. An end. The other one is still in the progress.
Yeah.
It was also came out during the whole thing, or it might have been reported before, but essentially John McCain had contacts with Russians, people that had connections with Russian mafia offshore.
The Russian thing isn't going to go away.
No.
He got coerced into it as around his 70th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody escorted him onto a boat, met Russians offshore. So, because the guy in question apparently isn't allowed to step foot on American soil.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they got around it. And so he got onto this committee meeting. He's not on it. He got put onto it last minute.
Yeah.
And there's like two of the committee members were at dinner with Trump 2 days before.
Yeah.
So lots of weird shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think by the time all of this is over, we're going to find out that a lot of people in the GOP are lousy with Russian money. Or they all owe some Russian mobsters a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it just keeps spreading.
Yeah.
So now, Donald Trump has come forward and said that he wants to give his own side of the story, and that, in his own words, he is willing to do it under oath.
By all means. Go right ahead.
Man who can't say anything that's the truth.
Yeah.
I saw a great bit on Last Week Tonight of Trump talking about the climate change stuff when he was pulling out that speech he had.
Mm-hmm.
And showed him. Well, no, this was from during the campaign.
Yeah.
Him talking about the climate change and him constantly losing the plot, like the thread, and just transitioning into other points. Mm-hmm. Like, talk about like seven different things in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Equating it to a goldfish wouldn't get that lost in thought.
Yeah,
that's
it. Really did. Like, he was talking about climate change, and then he was talking about China. At some point, he was talking about like a restaurant or something. Yeah.
Talking about how he sold the Miss USA pageant, made a lot of money off of that, and then I forget where else it went from there.
And it was all of this was like in under 30 seconds. Yeah.
It's like he was supposed to be talking about climate change and was talking about the Miss USA pageant.
It was like Miss one Universe mass pageant. It was like one giant verbal run-on sentence.
Yeah.
That had no...
This is a man that has no script and is just making it up as he goes along.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so... Yeah, I really want him to do that.
Yeah.
Just get a lie detector test up at the same time.
Yeah, I don't trust lie detectors, but... I'm honestly, if you were to hook him up to one, it would explode. it would explode, and the only thing that will be left is like a little robot arm waving a white flag.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. So, in other political news, the House of Representatives passed a rollback bill that will be taking away one of the crown jewels of the Dodd-Frank bill. And all of this happened during the Comey testimony.
Naturally.
Hmm.
Yep.
Yep. Take away your freedoms while nobody's looking.
Yep. Well, the Dodd-Frank stuff specifically had to do with banks, right?
Hmm. Yeah.
Like this
essentially was combat the 2008 crisis.
Yeah. This was the stuff we put in place so that we would try and lessen the chance that would happen again.
Hmm.
You know, we tried to, you know, put regulations on certain practices that, you know, damn near destroyed the world economy.
Yeah.
You know, like the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just got rid of the one of the key regulations from it.
Yeah.
And their logic makes no sense. It's completely the opposite of what this thing actually does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need to put the choice back into the banks, because we could trust them before, right? it's like, the economy is the best it's ever been in this country. Why do you need to fuck with it?
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty much been the best as it's ever been, at least in Wall Street.
No, it just doesn't seem that way, because trickle-down doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, trickle down. They finally this week, Kansas finally voted to roll back all of the tax cuts that Sam Brownback put in when he was governor.
Hmm.
Which basically, in and of itself, proves that trickle down is bullshit and it does not work.
Yeah.
And Kansas was basically the dry run.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it completely failed the state.
Yeah, it ran the state economy into the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some states that their economy is so bad they're shutting down schools
because
they tie their schools to the state economy.
Mm-hmm. God. Well, all right, so we got another story here. Michael Moore, we hadn't heard from him in a while. He recently set up his own website called TrumpyLeaks, specifically to provide a place for whistleblowers from the Trump administration.
Hmm.
If they got stuff they need to share, any documents or whatever, he's gonna have a source that they can go to. It's for those of you who are wondering, all you have to do is go to Michael Moore's own website. He's got a link to it there.
Yeah.
Or at least is going to, anyway.
Yeah.
I guess he's doing this so you don't necessarily have to go through WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Mostly due to the fact that apparently the Russian
influence in bed with Trump at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he just wanted to offer a sort of alternative source that you could put mm-hmm. that stuff and not have to go through freaking, you know, Julian Assange. But
yeah.
So I'm gonna give him props for that. I was kind of hoping we have something like that eventually.
Yeah.
But
it's such a stupid name.
Yeah, but WikiLeaks was already taken, so and besides, this is Michael Moore.
Yeah.
This is kind of right up his sense of humor.
Hmm.
Speaking of other hilarious Trump news, so in New Zealand, I think Rex Tillerson and was Trump with him?
No, when they went over. Just Tillerson.
Rex Tillerson went to New Zealand to do some stuff over there, and while he was there, he was basically hounded by protesters, basically heckling both him and Trump pretty much every step of the way.
Lots of people with middle fingers.
Mm-hmm.
They had a nice mannequin with a giant orange Trump head on it.
Mm-hmm.
They were throwing water, condoms filled with water at it.
Yeah. See, your world leader's not being respected by anybody at this point.
Yeah, he's you know what you got to do to piss off a bunch of Kiwis?
They fucking live in the Shire.
They do a lot.
Yeah. Let's see. What do we got? Yeah, that thing looks amazing.
Yeah, they have a nice gif of just people throwing water-filled condoms at it, but they don't break.
Yeah. This one dude got really close to him with the dude wearing the leaves around his head.
Yeah. There's people like hanging out outside of his limo and such, just flipping the bird.
Yeah.
It's the most effective protest tool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's free.
Yep. Doesn't cost a dime.
Hmm.
All right, so we got all that crap out of the way, so now we're going to go into our science, tech, and entertainment news. So, first things first. Scientists recently discovered the hottest, that is, the hottest exoplanet that we've ever found, Kelt 9b, which is over 4,300 degrees Celsius.
So it's basically a ball of magma.
It's
pretty much.
Yeah.
And that that's literally hotter than the surface of Mercury.
It's hotter than many stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, they found this at Ohio State. The Kilo Degree Extremely Little Telescope, KELT.
Yep.
That's why that first part of that name is there. I love these dumb science names for their telescopes. The Extremely Little Telescope. I think they're supposed to be building a giant one that goes somewhere in South America. I think it's Extremely Large Telescope.
Well, that doesn't something work, like, because then the acronym will be the same.
I think it's got a different first word, so it'll be something else rhyming with Elt. Yeah, they found this planet and figure out it's about twice as hot as our sun.
Yeah,
that's warm.
And about 650 light years away. It's
awesome.
Pretty close to the sun. A day side that's always facing the star. And a cooler night side always pointing away. It's a gas planet, I believe.
Yeah, you're not going to live there unless you're, you know, a pyro or something.
Yeah, it's bombarded by heat.
Yeah, that one is not going on the habitable list.
And bright, higher energy blue and ultraviolet light. The night side is still hotter than most tepid stars.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, awesome. So,
pretty awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So, IKEA. We have all used their products at one time or another, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's cheap, affordable, Swedish crap.
Not me, for lack of availability.
Yeah, all right, well. So, IKEA...
It's fun to put together.
Yeah. So, it was recently revealed that IKEA engineers, you know, the people that, you know, actually design and build the infamous, you know, assembly required furniture that IKEA puts out that's ultra cheap and can be put together and dismantled with only a hex wrench and sheer willpower. They are actually living in a desert with a research station that is meant to simulate the conditions of a terraformed Mars.
is Patrick's neck of the woods in Utah.
Yep, yeah, it's in Utah.
Well, I mean, if you... Yeah, that's the place to do it.
If you want to know what it's like to live on Mars, well...
Yeah, well, I can't really fault them for this. This is actually a pretty...
Well, it's going to happen eventually, so...
Yeah.
It's high-altitude desert, no matter what season it is, you get it in its most extreme form.
Yeah. And here they are, they're basically learning, so it's like, so once we do finally put, you know, a colony down on Mars, they'll have...
Which I still think is a terrible idea.
They
it'll
have...
happen eventually.
Yeah, it may be a terrible idea, but it's going to happen either way.
Yeah.
They will have plenty of affordable Swedish crap to build with them.
Well, it's also just for here, too.
Yeah.
It'll just build more compact design furniture.
And you know there will probably be meatballs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
I think that's a requirement for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, next up, we've got... Okay, this is actually pretty neat. So, they found a amber deposit in Burma. Well, of course, that's actually Myanmar now, but for some reason we still call it Burma.
Burmese amber.
Oh, it's Burmese amber. Okay, yeah. I gotcha. But anyway, it's an amber deposit, and they found an incredibly... sorry, I don't know why my brain is completely drawing blanks tonight. But anyway, they found a perfectly preserved baby bird that is over 99 million years old.
Hmm. Yep, that's been a while.
It is a species of an extinct bird called... Of a group of tooth birds, means they actually had teeth, called... Enantiornice, which went extinct along with the dinosaurs. They actually have a reconstruction here where they show you sort of like what the preserved baby bird, what the hatchling would have looked like if it were still, you know, all together and not just, you know.
Yeah, amber.
Like I said, so yeah, this is old school birds. Ones that had teeth, because back then basically everything had teeth. It's pretty neat, and you got it. It's kind of neat. We're sort of starting to see all of these amber deposits suddenly now. Like, you know, we got the dinosaur tail, we got this, and they're all kind
of. They found a mine of this amber that just has a bunch of life in it.
Yeah. Hmm. And they're still going through and finding just all kinds of amazing crap in there.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time before someone says, let the cloning begin.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not scientifically possible.
Yeah. I'm sure Singapore will figure it out sooner or later.
Yeah. But that's not the only...
They figured out this thing got covered in amber within a few weeks of birth.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked up. Hey, I'm born. Shit.
Nature is fucked up.
Yep.
I never grew up to learn to hate I don't know, but anyway, so
back then.
Oh yeah, but this isn't the only fossil news we got. We also got some fossilized T-Rex skin.
Hmm.
Not bones, actual skin.
Yeah.
And guess what it actually suggests?
Mm-hmm.
It was covered in scales, not feathers.
Hmm.
Interesting.
So Jurassic Park was might not be wrong.
Not, well, 50% at least. it wasn't really until fairly recently we started putting feathers on the dinosaurs once we realized how closely related a lot of them were to birds.
Yeah.
But apparently, this is not the case with T-Rex. It actually was mostly scaly. Let's see.
It says if it had any feathers at all, it would have been limited to their backs.
Yep. They have, let's see, they've had this thing since 2006. Well, this particular, they've also had the neck, pelvis, and tail. They've gone through all of it, and there is no sign of feathers whatsoever. And, let's see, because their earlier cousins did have feathers, it's likely that the large Tyrannosaurs lost them somewhere along the way, the team suggested. It's possible that the giants didn't need feathery thermal insulation, as their bodies were better able to retain heat. So, there you go. We're still... Yeah, Jurassic Park is still at least 50% correct so far.
Yeah.
So. Ain't that fun. Alright, we got some sports news now. So, first of all, the International Olympic Committee is going to be adding 3-on-3 basketball to the 2020 Summer Olympics. Which, of course, those are in Tokyo, in Japan. So,
yep. So arcade basketball.
Yeah, yep. Basically.
I approve.
Yep, NBA Street's going to be real.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I am okay with this.
Yes, I have no problem with this whatsoever.
Yeah. Basically, they're saying they're doing it because since 3-on-3 uses an economy of space, it's perfect for an urban environment, which is Tokyo to a T.
Yeah.
Now all the Japanese need to do is figure out how to make the ball light on fire.
Then, yeah.
We'll be good.
I've seen that been done.
Make it light on fire and find some way to turn Charles Barkley into Godzilla.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so...
This will be fun to see, especially for a lot of the countries that have a lot of good basketball players, see how they divide it up between the full 5-on-5 versus 3-on-3.
Yeah. And, here's something else. They're also going to be adding mixed gender events. And BMX.
Awesome.
That's also going to be showing up in 2020.
The IOC proving that they want to continue to be relevant.
Yeah.
And progressive. So, yeah.
That's, pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. They're doing,
I think, one event in swimming, 4x400 meter mixed relay, and 4x... No, that's... The 400 meter is track. 4x100 meter is mixed for swimming. So it'll be two events. That'll be fun to see.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, how much you want to bet that there's going to be... Let's see.
They're essentially adding a ton of new events.
Stuff specifically designed to attract the more youthful audience. I can't wait to see what the MRAs have to say about this. Because they are going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, what doesn't piss them off?
Yeah.
Yeah, cycling is going to be the third largest sport in terms of medals being offered. With the addition of freestyle BMX and the Madison? I don't know what that is.
Oh, God. Here's the very first one just 6 minutes ago. This whole gender thing, you know, I love doing this. If you ever come across a comment that you find so incredibly offensive or hurtful or just unbelievably stupid, it makes your brain hurt, just read it in the voice of Dale Gribble from King of the Hill.
Okay, let's try this one.
This whole gender thing is becoming ridiculous. Men are men and women are women. In all species, one gender of the other is dominant. This is the natural evolution of things. Anything else is in nature unnatural. Male and female genders of any species were put on this earth for one reason, so that species could breed and survive. Nothing to do with religion or anything else but by nature itself. Does it work?
So one of these got removed already. That works. I want to see
it.
Oh, my God.
Here's another one. This was just 56 minutes ago. Can I book myself on the next mission to Mars, please? I don't want to live in a world where there are laws instructing me to pretend that genders are equal, nor that 6-foot hairy men are actually women, and my 8-year-old daughter has to share facilities with them.
God, these people.
It really works, doesn't it?
Yeah, it totally does.
I can't take credit for that. I totally got that from Aaron Hansen.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, so. Now for entertainment news. Amazon has purchased the script for the Monica Lewinsky Linda Tripp movie. I'm guessing this is the movie that's going to be about the infamous sex scandals involving the Clinton administration.
Yep.
Presumably.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, it's produced by the trio that produced Fences and the sequel The Equalizer.
Yeah.
They mentioned there's also a bunch of other political-based movies coming out.
Mm-hmm.
There's one Adam McKay is producing featuring Dick Cheney. Played by Christian Bale.
Oh my God.
Steve Carell is playing Donald Rumsfeld. Amy Adams plays Lynn Cheney.
Yeah.
That seems like a pretty good one. Michael Moore has a new movie called Fahrenheit 11/9 about the election and presidency of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Oliver Stone has The Putin Interviews. It's like a TV miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
McKay is also developing a Jennifer Lawrence Bad Blood film about Elizabeth Holmes, who led the Theranos Silicon Valley testing, blood testing stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Probably a scam.
Yeah. Oh, Showtime just made a deal for a Blumhouse TV-generated series about the rise and fall of the late Fox News chief Roger Ailes.
Oh man!
More sexual harassment accusations.
Oh God, that show is going to have more tits than Game of Thrones. Yeah. It just
just kind of has to.
Oh man, you're going to hate. By the end of that, you're gonna find Roger Ailes to be more evil than Frank Underwood ever could be.
Yeah. It's like I haven't actually watched the new season of House of Cards yet because. Why bother?
Yeah, why bother? I mean, you're basically watching it on unfold in real life.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the original House of Cards, the BBC one?
I watched a couple of episodes of it, but I didn't get all the way through it.
I've heard it's pretty good. But anyway, so next up, why do we keep trying to do this? We got yet another live action adaptation of an anime, folks. This time it's a TV series of Cowboy Bebop. But they're actually getting the help of the original studio.
Okay, so it has nice. A potential to not suck.
Yeah. There is a chance.
Is this became of the Keanu Reeves vehicle that went into development hell years ago?
Probably.
The other people that got involved, Tomorrow Studios, Adelstein, who worked on Good Behavior and Prison Break, and Becky Clements, who worked on Good Behavior and Aquarius. Matthew Weinberg is also on it. Chris Yost, who wrote Thor the Dark World and Thor Ragnarok, is also writing on it. So it could be good.
Yeah.
Well, he wrote the two Thor movies that weren't, you know, aimless rom coms.
Yeah.
I think it was I think Nash from Radio Dead Air put it best, is that as soon as it was Doug Walker. After they did their their real thoughts on Wonder Woman after they came back and saw the movie. They loved it, first of all, in case you're wondering.
Really
and he basically said it. Basically says, as soon as Thor, hits Earth, that's basically the end of the movie for me. But anyway, so we got that coming. Just cross your fingers, hope it doesn't suck. I mean, DCEU did eventually have a great movie, so
yeah. Eventually, we'll have a great anime adaptation.
Yeah,
maybe.
And I guess the same studio, the American studio that's producing this, they're also working on an adaptation of South Korean movie Snowpiercer for pilot order for TNT.
Oh.
That's going to be its own show.
That movie Snowpiercer is so weird, it's amazing.
So weird and so dark.
Yeah.
Now it has to be produced for TNT.
Yeah.
In their style.
this will probably not go well.
Yeah. Yeah, Snowpiercer is probably one of the most depressing dystopias I've ever seen.
Yep.
But anyway, our penultimate story, Samsung recently announced a ridiculous 32x9 monitor.
Yep.
Essentially two 1080p 16x9 monitors attached. Yep. But it's one continuous screen.
Yeah, one continuous curved screen. All I can say is I want one.
Yeah.
Because that would be very, very handy to be able to have twice the width.
Yeah, it took me a bit to realize this first screen is an Excel spreadsheet. It's like, holy shit, no more scrolling, but what sort of spreadsheet are you working on that you need that much space?
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where you kind of at first wonder why this needs to exist, and then you realize you really want one.
Yeah.
Well, the great thing they have is built-in tools for how to divide up the screen.
Yeah.
Since it's two 1080p monitors, you could do multitasking really easy with just one screen.
Yeah.
They also got a bunch of other configurations that essentially look like various flags around the world. Mm-hmm. There's like an X-shaped one, which is those weird quadrants.
Yeah.
And there's various others that look like some of the ways that Windows 8 was supposed to be able to divide up the screen.
Yeah.
There's like even like a six-part one.
Yeah.
They show examples of that.
Just end up just doing one really wide image.
Ooh. Yeah, like here's one that's just split up a bunch.
Hmm.
Yep.
It starts looking like Idiocracy, like the TVs in that.
Yeah.
Kind of. Well, I like that curve, though. So
that's cool.
Probably end up being pretty cool. And imagine, playing Wipeout Omega Collection on something of that width.
Yeah, they show it with Battlefield 1. Hmm. So they're using that, which looks ridiculous with some of like the actual flight combat stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine racing games would probably work pretty well on something like that.
Yeah, instead of having to get three monitors together.
Yeah, just do it on one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be that crazy. Just whatever this costs.
$3,000.
All right. So, all right, it's time for our ultimate segment of the show.
4chan.
All right, should I sort of go ahead and sort of give a sort of a short explanation of what 4chan is? I mean, I know it's so ubiquitous in the internet, but there's probably still some people who aren't quite sure what it is.
Sure.
Isn't it related to or started from something awful?
It's kind of a sort of a convoluted story, but basically this is what happened. 4chan was originally started way back in 2003, and it was by a guy named Christopher Poole, who online has always been known as Moot, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, he got the idea from another image board that's in Japan, known as Futaba Channel, or as it's mostly known as 2chan.
Yep.
2chan, when it originally was founded, was intended for anime stuff. Hmm. You know, it was for talking about anime, usually, you know, and, you know, specifically stuff like, you know, Lolicon stuff, the Shoujo games, Toho Project, you know, waifus and various husbandos.
Mm-hmm.
But within a few years, because it was basically an anonymous place, it basically became a chaotic and sort of weird hive mind of just all Japanese internet culture in one place. Basically becoming the birthplace of what we now know as the modern internet meme.
Mm.
I mean, there were internet memes before then, but when we think of memes now, this is basically where sort of the whole concept took off. They spawned memes, raids. Yes, 2chan was also doing raids back then. And, of course, the controversy left, right, and center. And some of the more infamous memes they spawned included Nevadaton. That's an old one. That's about that schoolgirl from that elementary school girl who killed one of her friends with a box cutter. And I think it was in Osaka. And it became sort of a meme because she was shown wearing a Nevada State hoodie. And of course, it's sort of where Toho Project became famous and yada, yada, yada. Nice so all quote. That, yeah. So eventually what happened is Christopher Poole, who of course was himself a major weeaboo and was 15 at the time, saw this. He thought, hey, why don't we try and do something like this over in the U.S.? So he took 2chan, you know, and he doubled it because what's more than 2?
4.
4. And it became 4chan. It basically is the birthplace of Anonymous, the sort of hacker hive mind, if you will, which, of course, isn't. Of course, the dirty little secret that everyone knows, of course, is Anonymous isn't actually an organization. It's basically just a umbrella term for anyone who wants to claim use of it. So, suddenly 4chan came about, and 4chan was known for a couple of things. One, of course, is that it was a hub of weeabooism, and people who hated said weeabooism. It was also known for sort of spawning some of the first infamous memes, such as, All Your Base, Goatsay, Tub Girl, Lemon Party. Of course, you got the more mainstream ones like Grumpy Cat and Ermagerd, you know, medieval rapping, you know, rap lyrics, you know, disregard females, obtain currency, that type of thing. It's also where things like I'm a charging Malazor. That's an old one. God, I could keep going. The infamous Cock Mongler. I don't know if you guys remember him. It was that dude with that weird freaky grin and pictures of him going, "Can I suck your cock?" And then at some point, somewhere, somebody discovered the drawings, the cartoons of a gentleman known only as A. Wyatt Mann, who was an infamous political cartoonist for the White Aryan Resistance. And suddenly you started seeing people using jokingly racial caricatures and hate speech in a joking manner. Now, the thing you have to understand about 4chan is 4chan always prided itself in its elitism. It made itself intentionally abrasive in its image because it only wanted to attract a certain type of people. Now, I want to make it clear, the first generation of people on 4chan, the vast majority of them were not racists. They were basically just edgy teenagers who had discovered something and thought it was funny. And all of a sudden, and then came the day, and so, you know, and the thing you also have to remember is that Moot, the actual guy who created the channel and for whatever reason its administrator, he tended to keep a very sort of hands-off approach to it. He would only get involved if there was some serious shit going on. Like suddenly, you know, like there was a flood legally. Like if there was a flood of kiddie porn that started showing up in, you know, in the B board. Or, you know, there have been a couple of events where people have threatened bomb threats or have basically...
Don't mess with football.
Yeah. Shown they were going, you know, basically showed that they were going to kill someone and then later actually did it. The dude who basically showed that he had found a live hand grenade and asked 4chan if he should, you know, take the pin off or whatever. by a vote. He did.
He's dead now?
Yeah, yeah, he's dead now. And then eventually, now here's the weird thing. Do you know what one of 4chan's first major targets was? And this is before, like, Project Chanology and, you know, stuff like that.
Hmm.
It was a gentleman by the name of Hal Turner. Hal Turner was an infamously violent neo-Nazi. He had a radio show that he did where he would regularly call for the violent assassination of literally anyone he didn't like.
Hmm.
He was also a frequent caller to Sean Hannity's old radio show.
Oof. Okay, I'm connecting the dots now.
Yeah. Well, Anonymous decided this guy was an asshole, and so they started harassing him everywhere they could, and eventually they ended up showing in public that he was an informant for the FBI.
The rest of the story kind of writes itself, I imagine.
Yeah. So there's that. And then there was the weird stuff, like they would do raids on stuff like Habbo Hotel. Do you guys remember Habbo Hotel?
No.
It was like a it was like a sort of massive multiplayer online game for kids. It was popular with the nerd group. And suddenly, for whatever reasons, the folks at 4chan thought it would be funny if they just sort of raided the game every so often, where they would uniformly make characters that were black guys with afros and three-piece business suits. They would block off, like, the hotel pool with messages saying, pool's closed due to AIDS, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They would even arrange their characters in a giant swastika. They called it the swastigit.
It sounds like what people do with Club Penguin now.
Yeah.
Just create a lot of shitty accounts to troll and see how fast they can get banned.
Yeah. So, like, they did that. That was from, like, 2005 to 2006. Of course, we mentioned the NFL thing. That was Jake Brohm. That was back in October 2006.
And the rule that came out of it actually was called Don't Mess with Football.
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there was the infamous story that Fox Network affiliate KTDV ran in 2007 that became just a hive of memes in and of itself. It was sensationalist. There was like a random video of a van exploding for no reason. It was hilarious. And of course, Project Technology basically started right around 2008. But now you're asking, okay, so all the, and like I said, yeah, all of the like anti-Semitic caricatures and stuff, the racist stuff, the constant uses of the N-word and, you know, racial slurs in general, that was originally just sort of part of their, for lack of a better term, humor.
Hmm.
Yes, it was tasteless. Yes, it was juvenile and horrible. But the thing was, is that back then there was a good 50-50 chance that the guy posting all of the, you know, racial caricatures of black people was actually a black person themselves.
Hmm.
It was just part of it. So you're probably wondering, okay, so all of this happened. How did it turn into what it is now? Well, I was on 4chan, and I was a fairly frequent channer for a while, and I actually started to see this happen before my own eyes. So what happened is around 2009, after the Obama was elected president, you started to see people show up on poll. You guys know what poll is, right?
Yeah.
It's the politically incorrect. That's actually where a lot of the stuff I was previously talking about first showed up. Now, again, like I said, back then it was meant in jest, as tasteless and awful as it was. But suddenly you started getting guys showing up from places like Stormfront.
People who are serious about it.
And White Aryan Resistance. And, you know, the National Socialist Party of America. you know, in American third position, all of these far right groups who suddenly started showing up, and they realized something. They discovered that there was all these young kids using, you know, who had become a major sort of force in pop culture, because he really did. A lot of these memes are now stuff that we see every day.
Yeah.
You know, just on TV and movies, just everywhere. It became a thing, you know?
Yeah.
And they looked around, they realized they're using a lot of the same shit we use. And they figured out that if they could just very carefully, with, you know, soft shoes on, sort of turn the conversation ever so slow. And you have to remember, this wasn't a sudden thing. This was a very slow, years-long process. And it was 100% planned. It was not unintentional at all. They knew exactly what these people were doing. And every so often, they started using, like, these things. They started using the memes. Like I said, A. Wyatt Mann, the infamous anti-Semitic caricatures. The most infamous, probably, caricature everyone will know is the Happy Merchant. It's the one of the horrible anti-Semitic caricature of a, you know, hook-nosed Jew rubbing his hands together.
Yeah.
You've seen it everywhere.
Yeah.
Suddenly, that started to become a general thing that they used to describe anyone they didn't like. And very slowly, they changed the conversation from taking it in jest into making it 100% serious. But also, at the same time, managing to convince so many people that it's still just a game. You know, because the whole
Until
thing
it was
about
too
being
late
on.
And they were true believers.
Yeah, and the thing about Pol, always been about Pol, was trying to make yourself the biggest asshole you possibly could. And then the next generation of 4chaners started showing up around 2011. And by then, all the stage had been set.
Yeah.
All of this stuff, the generation of chaners that had been using all of this stuff as purely a joke, had almost, most of them had already moved on to other pastures.
Right.
Reddit, for example. And so what happened is suddenly Pol and places of 4chan were slowly filled up with these neo-reactionaries, dark enlightenment types who hated democracy and supported monarchy and, you know, reactionary forms of totalitarian authoritarian government.
Yeah.
And then finally, it all culminated in the most it was the signal for how 4chan was going to go from then on. Gamergate.
Yeah.
Gamergate started on 4chan. In 2014. It started on B. It started on V. It started on R9K. And eventually it made its way to Pol.
And then they managed to kind of kick them out.
Yeah, they did for a little while.
Mm-hmm. They started, 8chan?
Mm-hmm. They went to 8chan, which is the home of the people that are too extreme for 4chan.
Yeah, I remember seeing lots of stories about child pornography there.
Mm-hmm. And it still happens.
Yeah,
I believe it.
Isn't it also a site that's run by a guy who is wheelchair-bound?
Yep.
So anytime they were criticized, the site was, they used him as a shield.
Mm-hmm. But by then, you got to understand, by then, Moot, Christopher Poole, had sold the site. He stepped down as administrator in 2015. And he sold it.
He was probably so done he couldn't stand it.
Yeah. The new owner became none other than Hiroyuki Nishimura, the guy who founded 2Channel. But the thing is, Hiroyuki in 2016 reported that 4chan was facing these ongoing financial difficulties because it was almost impossible to get any advertising revenue.
Oh shit!
Shocking.
So much so that it cannot off it. There was not enough revenue to offset the significant costs of operating the site.
You know, if he'd invested in Reddit instead.
Mm-hmm. And then when Donald Trump, oh, of course, okay. So before that, as we all know, people like, you know, Milo took advantage of the whole Gamergate thing, and they just pulled them into what became what we now know as the alt-right.
Yeah.
A part of the internet that had hidden in shadows and had been ashamed to show its face until the last couple of years. And that all finally culminated with the announcement of the presidential candidacy of
Donald J. Trump.
And they attached themselves to Trump like leeches. And all of a sudden, you started to see Pepe. A completely innocent cartoon frog meme that the alt-right took as their own. Much to the chagrin of the guy who created Pepe.
Yeah.
Who had like
a
month-long...
I'm not even sure what the connection is there. Like,
it was just a rant. Well, Pepe was a really Okay. I can actually answer that one.
I'm pretty certain that I was familiar with the meme long before the...
Well, yeah, he had existed before then, but the alt-right kind of took him as their mascot.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was Keck. You guys know what Keck is? Or Kekistan? It's this... Okay, so Keck is like this old, I think it was like Sumerian trickster god that somebody found that, and they sort of took him as sort of their like spirit animal or something. They decided to call themselves Kekistanis for a Kekistan homeland that doesn't exist. That's where like the infamous Keck flag comes from. It's like it looks like the old German Nazi flag, but instead it's like green, black, and white, and instead of a swastika, there's like an E surrounded by four Ks, so it's Keck, 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 Keck. And apparently that old Sumerian trickster god took the form of a frog. That's where all the frog shit comes from.
Okay.
See, I just figured it was another sort of LOL type of...
Oh, it's also that. Because...
Because memes just sometimes defy explanation.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing.
I mean, when you're playing Persona 5, Futaba actually inserts it into general conversation.
Yep, she does. God damn it, she's my favorite character in that game. Yeah. But yeah, so... By then, they attached themselves to Donald Trump. Reddit formed the Donald, the infamous subreddit that is just is not quite the hive and scum and villainy as 4chan's poll is, but very, very, very close. And they've got money to throw around. That's the thing. The Donald is actually like the... Like, okay, so you know how, like, on Reddit, you can get Reddit gold by, like, donating money to them? They donate more money than any other subreddit on Reddit. Geez. So they've got money to throw
around.
Is that
like Twitch bits?
Yeah.
Okay.
They got money to throw around. So here's the thing, though. If you understand, you should always be worried about this type of group because it only takes small numbers, but... Because, you know, the Nazis were a fairly small group, and, you know, it took some political machinations and stuff for them to gain power.
Yeah.
But the good thing is, and this is really the only positive that came out of it, the alt-right is basically dying. And it has been for the last couple of months. Ever since, because what happened is 4chan has basically... Okay, amongst other news, Breitbart, as somebody might know, is on a downward spiral now.
Yeah.
Like, all of its infamous... Because they recently fired a columnist for making some very racially incendiary language, which you may be surprised that they actually have that kind of standard. But that
let me guess, that meant they were no longer extreme enough for their audience.
Yeah, and so they've all just sort of disappeared. They've started disappearing left, right, and center, jumping ship. On top of that, you know, although the Trump is currently president, the amount of public hatred that's been put against them has shrunk their numbers even further. The thing is about the alt-right is they are loud, they are infuriating, and they're absolutely willing to do whatever means they need to take to further their cause. They are not above death threats, docking, doxing people, you know, harassing Jews and Muslims. I mean, just recently, that dude, you know, in Portland who...
Yep.
You know, he was a... You know, he was a dude on, you know, Reddit and Breitbart and all those places. He was one of those people. Remember, he was the one who was talking about free speech or die.
This is why anti-fascists are so important.
You have to understand, this is when these when they're having these free speech rallies, this is specifically what they're talking about. There is no other thing. They're taught because they've inspired in the idea of people that that speech has absolutely no consequences. That's what free speech means. Look, and this is something I told somebody else because I don't. Okay, so another side story. Recently, a bunch of students were recently disinvited from attending Harvard University after it was discussed. Because you know what, when you go to Harvard, you know they have like a probationary period you have to go on. And they discovered that, you know, they had made this basically an alt-right type of private account where they posted all types of racist 4chan type memes and shit. And Harvard kicked them out.
Good on Harvard.
And this is basically where I have to say, kids, 4chan is not real life. Okay? You know, the shit you pull in 4chan, you can't pull in public. And Harvard is a private institution. They can kick you out if they want to.
Freedom of speech does not have the same connotation to it as free beer.
And I had this kid basically like, so I shouldn't be able to attend college just because of my sense of humor? And I was like, kid, you just kind of proved my point there. So I don't have freedom of speech. This has nothing to do with freedom of speech, kid. This is not what that is about. You know. You need to grow the fuck up.
And freedom of speech honestly believe, protects you from government censorship.
And frankly, I absolutely believe that most of these alt-right kids are just spoiled little shits who need a good five across the face. Just one. Just somebody to tell them, sit down and shut up, child.
And again, that's why anti-fascists are so important.
You know, because it's like, look, dude, and here's the good thing. In almost every case, it's been the anti-fascists that have outnumbered them. Usually by a good 3-1. In fact, recently there was that quote-unquote free speech rally in Portland. They made it specifically because of, you know, Matthew Christian or whatever his name was. Those guys, so those free speech guys showed up and they were surrounded by, you know, Bernie-crats, Antifa, and trade unionist people on three sides.
It's like, I just want to go home.
And then there was that recent thing where Antifa actually... it was I can't remember what state it was in, but it was the sort of defense committee of the IWW, you know, the Wobblies, Industrial Workers of the World. They came up with this brilliant idea. They went up and they actually contacted the people who were going to do a pro-Trump rally. And they said, look, I'm going to guess that you guys don't like the fact that you're constantly tied in with Nazis. What if, for free of charge... we actually go outside of yours and we'll help you regular Trump guys go into your building and have your rally and we'll help prevent the Nazi guys trying to come in and take it over or, you know, co-opt it. Yeah. And they agreed. And so Antifa showed up. They actually blocked the dudes from going into that rally. Mm. They actually blocked them. And it was actually pretty pathetic. Like, one, the guy who was, like, the head of the Trump rally, he actually came out to where Antifa was, took, you know, he got, they handed him, you know, their megaphone. He's like, look, we are not affiliated with Nazis. We don't want you Nazis here. Please go away. And this whole thing is on tape. You can go to YouTube and watch it. It was so funny. It completely deflated their sales. Like, it just, a lot of them just did not understand, you know, like, there was this one dude who was like, this is just a complete failure. You know, like, I don't understand why they won't let us in. I mean, I thought they were for free speech, and I'm like, and that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
You know, look, I may piss on Trump and his supporters a lot, but if they want to have their rallies, let them go ahead and have their rallies, all right?
Yeah.
You know, conservatives, I find conservatives annoying, irritating, even infuriating at times. But yeah, they should still be able to have their rallies and, you know, have
political
their little
activity is your patriotic duty
parades, you know, because this is a free country, you know, this isn't, they're not Nazis.
Yeah.
You know, that's what anti-fascist action is against, fascists, not, you know, Christian conservatives, not libertarians or Tea Party. You know, we're not talking about fascist in a rhetorical sense. We're talking about actual, honest to God, Sieg Heiling, goose-stepping, Hitler-loving fascists. And that's the people we have to oppose. If we can make that increasingly clear to the Trump supporter crowd, if we can do that, go to where the masses are at. You know what I'm saying? If we can show them, like, look, we know you guys hate this. This is, we're against these people. We don't want anyone to hurt you people. You know, this is them. We're against them, not you. You know, you can, for one thing, create a wider gulf between the two.
Yeah.
So that, you know, the fascists can't co-opt it enough. And number two, well, it's good propaganda work.
Yeah.
You know, it shows that, you know, we understand, we don't want to, you know, think that we hate you, or, you know, we want, and we kind of, you know, we want to talk with you guys, have a discussion, alleviate
everybody with the same brush.
Exactly. And, really, if like anything, one of the things that Corbyn and the Labour Party in the UK showed is that if you are willing to go out and talk to people without any preconceived notions, without immediately jumping on them as ignorant, bigoted hicks, but just starting from the same base and going from there, you can win over progressives and people to the progressive cause. You know, you just have to do it in their terms.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you need to give in to, you know, the bigotry and the anti-Semitism. No, that's not what I'm talking about at all. It's, you got it, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And but basically, if there's a lesson that 4chan can teach us, well, the first lesson that 4chan can teach us is that normalizing hate speech will inevitably lead to actual hate and violence. Even if it's completely in jest and the people you're sharing it with don't even believe it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened to 4chan.
Yeah.
Because
you might not believe it, but it'll get co-opted by the people that do.
Yeah. Very few of the people of the first couple of generations of 4chaners actually believed any of that shit. To them, it was just their sense of humor.
Yeah, just look at that story with the kids that were going into Harvard at the group on Facebook where they just...
Yeah, that's what I just talked about.
Yeah. It's like, first off, don't do it in public.
Yeah.
Do it on Facebook. That's the dumbest thing
you could have done. Do it on 4chan. You want to do that shit on 4chan.
How the hell are you going to Harvard and you make that fucking fundamental mistake?
Look, newsflash, if you do something on the internet, it stays there forever and it will be used against you.
Yeah.
Facebook is like the LinkedIn of the internet. Mm-hmm. They will find things related to you and show it to everybody else.
Yeah. And believe me, they will. That is a guarantee. All colleges do that now.
I like having a fake alt's Facebook account, seeing what the hell it tries to suggest who I know when it has no personal information.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, I can't find anything.
Yeah. And the second thing that 4chan shows is that it is true that political correctness can go overboard at times, but you always must remain steadfast in the struggle against bigotry.
Yes.
You know, it is true that, you know, humor is an amorphous thing and that what you might find funny may not be found funny by me. And, you know, I am of the opinion that, yes, everything should be up for laughs. But there is a line.
Yeah.
It's a very thin, hazy line, and you sometimes have to cross it first before you know that you've before you know that it exists. But you have to abide by it.
Yeah.
As a proper society. There is an old quote from Karl Popper. Karl Popper was an Austrian-British philosopher and professor who famously, in his political philosophy, espoused something known as the paradox of tolerance. And it basically goes like this. Unlimited tolerance must lead to the disappearance of tolerance. If we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them. In this formulation, I do not imply, for instance, that we should always suppress the utterance of intolerant philosophies. As long as we can counter them by rational argument and keep them in check by public opinion, suppression would certainly be most unwise. But we should claim the right to suppress them, if necessary, even by force, for it may easily turn out that they are not prepared to meet us on the level of rational argument, but begin by denouncing all argument. They may forbid their followers to listen to rational argument because it is deceptive and teach them to answer arguments by the use of their fists or pistols. We should therefore claim, in the name of tolerance, the right to not tolerate the intolerant. We should claim that any movement preaching intolerance places itself outside the law, and we should consider incitement to intolerance and persecution as criminal, in the same way as we should consider incitement to murder or to kidnapping or to the revival of slave trade as criminal.
A fucking man.
And that was all the way back in a book he wrote called The Open Society and Its Enemies, which was published way back in 1945.
Yeah.
Man, ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Because that fits now. That whole alt-right to the T, doesn't it?
Yes.
And with that, I think we're going to end it.
That's a good note to end on.
Let the listeners mull over that for a while. Remember, folks, if you believe in a tolerant, liberal, open society that, you know, supports the idea of individual freedom, of being able to be open and do what you want, you know, you have to be willing to step up and confront and stamp out, sometimes ruthlessly if you have to, the forces of intolerance. Otherwise, tolerance will die.
And that's what Antifa is for. We're worthy of that kind of society.
Yeah. We are worth it. And if you are a person who wishes to impose tyranny on the society, you will not be safe. Ever. And with that, folks, I do believe we're going to end it there. So, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. I would like to remind all of our listeners that if you wish to write into the show, ask us a question, have us something you want to read on the air, you can get us contact with us through letsweekenders@gmail.com. That is letsweekenders, letsweekenders@gmail.com. On top of our on iTunes, you can also hear our little show on RSS, Google Play.
It really is quite minuscule, isn't it?
Yeah. It's pretty much at this point, it's what we're not available on, other than what we are available on. But And again, we want to remind our listeners, if you don't hear from us next week, don't worry.
Don't panic.
It's just that E3 has completely exhausted us, and we need to recharge for a good 48 hours.
Yeah.
But if you don't hear with us Friday, you will definitely hear with us on the Day Zero update.
Yeah.
One of the two shows we'll be doing that day.
I think with the news being what it is, we're going to want to do a show next week. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, but we want to. Again, like we said, it's going to be a 50-50 thing. So we might be on here, but if we're not, don't worry about it. So, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo Dinolfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi, I'd just like to say good night. Get some sleep out there. Fuck Nazis.